Have you ever thought to yourself, who am I to do this? In this week's episode, episode number 23 of the Business of Making podcast, we're talking about how to deal with imposter syndrome in your handmade business.
Do you want to make it as a maker? This is the Business of Making podcast with your hosts, Michaela Denvers, Deb Engelmeyer, and Jess Van Den.
We know from experience that growing a handmade business is bloody hard work. We're here to make it a little bit easier for you by dishing out reality-based, no BS, tried and tested advice on how to make your business work.
Tune in every week for an honest conversation on what it really takes to make a creative business a success. Hello, makers. Welcome to the Business of Making podcast for another week. As always, I'm here with my beautiful friends, Jess.
Hello, everyone.
And Deb.
Hello.
I wasn't sure if you're going to say anything, Jess. You're going to leave me hanging.
Just a dramatic pause,
yeah. So this week we're going to be talking about imposter syndrome, which is a great thing to talk about because I have lots of thoughts and ideas on the topic. But first, we want to do a shout out to our awesome Patreon members, our supporters, and specifically this week, we want to say hello and thank you to Kathy Maher of Practical Cat. So Kathy makes premium flame-worked marine millefiori for fused glass artists to use in their work, and you can find her shop at practicalcat.com. So thank you so much, Kathy, for being a supporter. We really, really appreciate it. And also thank you to all of our other Patreons as well. We love you guys so much.
We really, really do. And go check out Kath's work. Her beautiful beads, they're just gorgeous.
Yeah. So diving into imposter syndrome, I don't even know where to start, honestly.
Let's define it first.
Let's define it. Okay. Yeah. I think of it as being in a position where you kind of like know what you're doing and you have experience, but you don't feel like you do. You feel like you're not supposed to be where you are. You don't feel like you have the expertise. You shouldn't be like, who are you to do this thing that you're trying to do?
Yeah. You feel like a fraud.
Yeah. Yes. You feel like a fraud. Yeah.
Absolutely. That is everybody. Like, let's just start by saying everybody feels this way.
Yeah.
At some time or another.
Yeah. Yeah. I was feeling like that 2 days ago. Like it's just... Yeah, of course. And it comes and goes and it's normal. And, you know, I think it gets better with time because you learn how to manage this, but it's just a very natural fear to have. And I think, especially as creatives, because you put your work out there and you're like, oh God, that's scary.
Yeah, definitely. And do we also, I mean, part of me thinks this is also a bit of a female socialized thing, like that women, I think, seem to suffer from this a lot more than men as a general rule. Because, you know, a lot of the times we're not socialized to be as assertive or as proud of ourselves for our achievements and things like that. I mean, I do feel, I have felt imposter syndrome and I do feel it at times, but it's not a huge issue for me. I've always been quite a confident person and just like, okay, well, if I know how to do something, then cool, that's good. I know how to do it and I'm not going to pretend like I don't I'm not going to like downplay my abilities, but I think a lot of people do. And even if you're not doing it externally, you're doing it in your head and that's the worst thing to be doing.
I think it, you know, there's so much talk around being, especially in the marketing sphere, being an expert in your space. And I think there's a very big disconnect between people acting like experts and being experts and also feeling like experts. I don't think any things are, there's just a big disconnect there. And I think part of imposter syndrome possibly is that us looking externally on that situation, well, this is my thing anyway, looking externally on that situation and thinking that person actually, doesn't know what they're talking about. And I don't want people to think that about me. So that's where my stuff comes from. And that's, you know, a big part of why I'm doing this master's and hopefully PhD in the future to actually know more about my topic. But at the same time, that sort of level of imposter syndrome has sort of permeated down the ranks kind of thing, because then I forget that I am an expert in some areas. So like when I talk to my students, they're sort of, you know, they're so in awe is like the stupidest thing to say, but anyway, they're in awe of what of the knowledge that I can impart to them, because I do know a lot about stuff. But because at those higher levels, and especially going into academia now, and oh my gosh, like I feel so out of place. I walked into a meeting yesterday and I'm like, yep, I am the only one wearing sneakers. Like I'm in this is like, everyone's going to look at me like I'm, you know, a 12-year-old or I'm a student, because that's, everyone mistakes me for a student all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, that sort of then like trickles down to the other areas where I know that I have the knowledge, and I know like I've been, same as you, just like quite confident for my entire life. Thanks, parents. I don't know what you did right there, but that was great. Thanks, Mum. but it's, yeah, it's just a bit of a mind fuck sometimes. Like you just don't know like where this uncertainty is coming from. And I think if you dig down a little bit deeper, we can sort of work it out. And I think it has a lot to do with judgment and being judgmental, which is a whole like another issue. I think I've rabbited on long enough, so I'm going to pass it over to you guys.
Yeah, I wanted to quickly read while you're talking. I was Googling, which is so disrespectful.
Oh, thanks, Dan.
No, but it was to bring some things to the conversation, because I don't know if you girls would know Mary Folio. I'm sure a lot of people know her. If you don't, we'll put the link in the show notes. She's done a video not too long ago about imposter syndrome and ways to sort of like kick it to the curb. And she says I was thinking about that because I know she mentioned women are affected more. And so she says that it affects a whopping 70% of us, according to research. And while this fraud feeling is universal, it tends to hit women the hardest. Why? Because as women and members of other traditionally underrepresented groups, it's easy to look around and feel out of place or like we don't belong. Socially, we've been conditioned to downplay our abilities, which can lead to low self-esteem and self-sabotage that adversely affects every sphere of our lives. And that is so true, because it goes deeper than our work, really. It's like, you know, there's many other areas in your life where sometimes you feel like a fraud, or you're like, oh, I'm not good at this. So you compare yourself to someone that's slightly better than you, and it is just self-sabotage. That's what it is. And it's actually putting yourself in like between you and the success that you could potentially be having. My thing with imposter syndrome, it's definitely getting better. Sometimes it's often just because I have a crappy day. Like I just, for some reason, something happened, or sometimes not. Sometimes you just get up and you're like, today is not a good day. And today my mind is not like where it should be. And you just feel like, well, who am I to do this? Who cares? Some people would probably do it better. And it's just completely reasonable, because if you actually look at the hard facts, and that's what I try to do, it's like, okay, I'm going to list down on a piece of paper right now my experiences, my years of work, how many people I've helped, the knowledge that I've had. And then something that I do, but that's something that you can do only if you actually have worked for a few years, is go back to like customer reviews of people saying, love my necklace, it's beautiful. Or, you know, for me, it's like going back to members thanking me for something, or, you know, and actually making you feel good. Or go to someone that knows you really well and say out loud, like, I am feeling this way today. Like, who am I to do this? And usually that person will tell you, for me, it's
like, Deb, you're crazy. You're crazy. Don't feel like that. We know you're amazing.
Yes. No, but it's, you know, it's really you're in your own head and you can't get out of it, because you think I'm not worth it. And it's, I think for me and for most people, probably also it's because you want to accomplish more than what you're doing right now. And that's scary. And you're putting yourself in that zone of discomfort where you need to be to grow your shop. And because that's uncomfortable, you're trying to find excuses and, you know, and using those fears as a way to go, no, maybe I should just stop, you know? it's definitely something that affects everyone. And I don't want you to think, if you're listening to that, that it stops when you become more successful, when you have more customers, more raving reviews of your products. It will probably still be there.
Yeah, I hear it a lot from people who are not yet started and they want to start their businesses, but they're like, well, who exactly that sentence, who am I to want to make this thing and make money from it? And it's just like why not? Mm. Why not you?
Yeah.
You know, like there's no reason that just because you're less skilled or less experienced or a woman that you cannot do what you're wanting to do. There's just no logical reason for it, really.
No, but it's not logical, and I think that's the problem. No. Like this feeling is not a logical problem. It's an emotional problem and a psychological problem. So, you know.
And a societal problem.
Oh, yeah. All of those things.
I'm like, how far into feminism do we want to get today? Yeah. We could be here for hours.
It is International Women's Day.
As we're recording. We're recording a couple of weeks before this goes live, and it is. So happy International Women's Day, lady.
Yeah, you guys too.
You're all awesome. Believe it.
Everyone is awesome.
Yeah, in their own way. Like everybody has skills. Everybody has strengths. The problem is that we underplay our strengths and overplay our weaknesses in our mind.
So we
focus. The thing to remember about the human brain is that it's a problem-solving machine. Like it focuses on problems because it wants to fix them. So if something's going well, your brain doesn't care. It's like, great, okay, fine. Where's the problem? Where's the next problem to solve? Where's the next thing I can fix? And so we fixate on those things because they feel like they're threatening us in some way, right? So if 95% of things are going brilliantly, but there's 5% of problems, your brain's just going to latch onto that and focus on that. And the only way to change that is to be conscious of it, be aware of what's happening, realize that it's just your thoughts. And let's dive into a whole nother area of things, which is psychology, Buddhism, whatever the hell you want to say. You know, your thoughts are not you. You are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are things that happen in your brain. And just because your brain is telling you something doesn't mean it's true. And any of us, hands up, any of us who've suffered from obsessive thoughts or anxiety will know that this is the case, because you have these unwanted thoughts that come in and go round and round and round in circles. And for a lot of us, imposter syndrome will be one of those things. And the only way to overcome it is to accept that that thought is there, but then not put the emotional energy into it. So not to actually connect it to reality or truth is to actually combat it and actually say, actually, no, that's not true. I know that's not true because of these reasons. And those strategies, like talking to someone, looking at your reviews, there's a whole bunch of different things you can do to combat those irrational thoughts.
I think getting some support from someone who knows you well, but also is maybe even a little bit impartial and sees your value. So they do kind of go like, no, you are the best person to do this particular thing. I was just going to say, I think we need a little bit of a disclaimer on this episode, saying obviously none of us are trained psychologists.
Oh no.
And anything we say here is like totally just our own opinions, and we don't, you know, we don't have training in the neurons of the brain and all that kind of thing. So if it is like throwing up anything for you that is significant, then I would say probably go and seek professional, you know, advice, help, whatever that you need. Just a little disclaimer there.
Yeah, I'm a yoga teacher, but no. That's, you know, I talk about this sort of stuff a lot in that sphere as well, but absolutely, like, I've been to a psychologist. You know, if you need to talk to somebody, go talk to somebody in a professional capacity.
I feel like most people should be talking to a psychologist.
Yeah, it should be a thing we all
or
do.
Or a counsellor, therapy. Like,
honestly, like, go to the doctor.
It should be. The taboo around that is just so silly, in my opinion. Like, everyone should have someone that they can talk to, but, you know, that has actual training in, you know, like how to develop strategies and stuff like that, I think would be great for everyone. But there's, you know, a whole nother issue of capacity to do that and
access and whatnot. I think just having that understanding that, one, you're not alone in this feeling. Two, it's probably irrational. What if it's not irrational? What if you actually don't know what you're talking about? Now,
good question.
But that's fine. I think that's fine too. Just be honest about it. Just say, you know, I am learning how to make these, like, craft or this, you know, I'm learning how to do this project. And as I'm learning, I want to share that with you on my journey. And I might sell a few pieces, you know, if they turn out to actually be okay. And just embrace the fact that you are not an expert or, you know, a great designer yet, and that you're still learning, and that's totally fine. And actually, that vulnerability and that honesty is probably going to get you a lot of people to follow you and to say, I like this person. She's really honest, and she's really, you know, I'm following her on her journey. So it's just a matter of like accepting who you are and what you are and what you know and don't know. And not the worst you can do is trying to lie and pretend that you know things that you don't, because that is so hurtful, like for you and obviously your business and your customers.
Yeah, 100%. I think a good, sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say a good resource that we could maybe link to, and I'm sure a lot of people listening would already have heard of Brené Brown, but a lot of her work around researching vulnerability and shame and judgment and all those kind of things has some really practical applications. So if you are interested in looking into any of that further, then yeah, just look up Brené Brown. I have all her books on Audible. It's great. I feel like we need Audible to sponsor the podcast, and then we'll be like, yeah, just go check this out.
I've still not read any of her stuff. I must get around to it. I obviously know who she is.
And I keep on mentioning this Big Magic book too, but really yes. It is an amazing book when it comes to being creative and being so scared. And usually that's when imposter syndrome kicks in as well, is really when you're scared. You're just not sure. Are people going to like what I'm making? You know, why my products are not someone else's? And that book really helped me sort of put this perspective on fear is always going to be there. And I'm always going to have those thoughts from time to time. And the best I can do is instead of like trying to push them away, is embrace it and say, hey, today I am feeling fear and that's fine. Thanks for being there and trying to protect me, but I'm still going to go and do my creative work because I need it and because some other people need it. And so it's really good book as well, really easy to read. I think you can find it on Audible as well if you want to craft and listen to it while you're working. Mm-hmm. But these are all really, really good practical resources.
Hey there, Maker. If you're loving the show, you can show us your support by becoming one of our patrons on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. We have behind the scenes content, we've got shout outs, we've got links happening. There's a whole bunch of different rewards for becoming a supporter. So head on over to thebusinessofmaking.com/support to find out more. It will really help us to make sure we can keep bringing this show to you every single week.
Yeah, I think an important thing to remember is to be courageous. And being courageous doesn't mean that you don't feel fear. Being courageous is feeling fear and doing the thing anyway. Mm-hmm. So if you're feeling the fear but you push through and do the thing even though you're scared, that's courage and that's incredibly brave. And, you know, if you are doing something new or if you're trying something different, it's going to be scary. It's always scary when we try something new. And there's nothing wrong with that, that there's, you know, fear is not something to be avoided necessarily. It's a defense mechanism. It's a healthy thing. But when we let it overcome us and stop us from doing things, then that's when it becomes problematic.
Mm. I agree. And failure is the same. Failure is not something to be avoided. We need to fail in order to learn to then grow and get better and do the next thing that we want to do. So if the fear of failure is holding you back of like asking questions to find out information that you don't know, then you got to try and get past that. So, you know, just always ask more questions if you're unsure of anything. And I guess just working out where it's coming from too, like it's hard, it's really hard, but I think like what I'm trying to do is, I guess the first thing is recognizing, and we've just talked about this, recognizing that it is like what you're feeling is imposter syndrome or something like it, recognizing that in the first place and then deciding what you're going to do with that. So not ignoring it, not shutting it off, but trying to work out then where's it coming from. Is it because you don't know what you're doing, or is it because you're in a room full of tech guys who are like talking some language that you don't even know, or is it, you know, something else? So working out like where it's actually coming from and then what you can do about it and choosing the way forward that you, where you want to go.
I think a huge reason this happens in our community is paying attention to other people too much. So if you're following people on Instagram or Facebook or Pinterest or their blogs or their podcasts or their emails or whatever, and following someone makes you feel bad about yourself, maybe stop following them.
Just do it now.
Stop it. Like stop looking. Like there's a time and a place to look at the competition. There's a time and a place to analyze, and that's, you know, that's what you should be doing. If you're looking at your competition, you should be analyzing them deliberately and saying, okay, what are they doing really well? How can I learn from that? What are they doing badly? What can I learn? I learn from that? And then walk away, turn away, just close their website, stop looking at it. Like, I don't follow other people who do what I do. Because, okay, disclaimer, weirdly, like, obviously I follow Nick and Deb because they're my friends and, I, you know, we're in this together. But,
you know, in that, along that vein, I used to, so this is a story from back in the day. Jess and I knew each other from a long time ago from working together on Bespoke Zine, but then I did join her Thriver Circle. When did you open it, Jess?
January 2015, I think.
Okay, so like 4 years ago I joined and I was a member for probably only about 4 months because I realized really quickly, I'm like, oh, this is kind of like what I want to be offering. I don't want to accidentally copy anything and I also don't want to be influenced by what Jess is offering because what I'm offering I do want to have my own, you know, flavor of. So totally just like left the group and explained
why. I'm pretty sure you emailed me and said like this is why I'm doing it. Yeah.
I did because I think you had a question thing set up like, why are you leaving? I'm like, well, this is why because I don't want to copy you. And then recently, like I don't know, 6 months or something ago, someone was asking if Michaela from the Makers Collective was in the Thriver Circle currently because what I was doing was so similar to Jess. She thought I was just kind of like copying, I guess, I don't know. And I was like, no, I purposely left so I didn't do that. But, I mean, that's an example, right, of how you can make sure that you're not being influenced by a competition. But even if you, because I would have got a lot out of it, like if I stayed, of course. But again, like I don't want to be influenced by my competition, which happens to be Jess, who I'm friends with. That's nice.
Yeah, I only follow the two of you and then from time to time I'll do research, as you say, like actually sit down for 2 hours and say, okay, market research, and I'll do that, like really not often at all. At the moment I'm redesigning my website. I feel like I've been saying that for 6 months because I have been doing that for 6 months. But so then, yes, then I sat down and I went onto everyone's website and I was just like, what are they doing? Like how they're, you know, what are they doing differently? What is good? What is not good in that? And then I closed everything and I'm not subscribed to any newsletter or anything because I don't want to know, because that gets you into this in this crazy spiral in your head where you start comparing yourself. Yeah. And even with you, like I obviously receive all your newsletter and I read that, but if you're launching, I don't want to see your lunches messages too much because we sell like kind of similar thing. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to be influenced in my marketing by what I see there. It's just like, it's a bit of a headache, isn't it?
Hard. It's really hard because I think even when you like the stuff that I follow of you guys, I'm like, oh, that's a really good idea. They're doing this in a really great way. And then I'm like, oh shit, I should be putting out videos like this. I should be doing this. I should be. And it's like, no, we can't do everything all the time. Like it's.
Yeah,
it's just so hard not to get into that frame of mind.
And I think, you know, you also have to remember with that imposter syndrome thing is that it's a self-critic of you wanting to be better than what you are now. So sometimes I like to think of it as like a good friend that's there to make me think like, I actually want to do great work. And that's why I have those thoughts. So actually sort of turning it into like a positive energy. I use the word energy. Yeah. Which rather than that it's negative, you know, feeling. And also remember that you usually compare yourself to people who are, well, you know, they're just more advanced. They've been doing that for 15 years and you look at their products and you're like, oh my God, she has a great eye for design. Her website is amazing. She takes wonderful product pictures. Her packaging is great. And you're like, my stuff isn't quite there yet, but your stuff is better than what you were doing 2 months or 2 years ago, which was nothing. You know, like you're doing the work, you're taking all of those steps. And so you're actually improving constantly and you just got to remember that. And there's also people who, like, if I buy soap from you, I find it like completely amazing because I would not know. I could not like tell you one ingredient that comes into the making of a soap bar. Like, I don't know. To me, soap is an ingredient, 100% soap. Like, you know, like, I don't know. So if on top of that, it's got nice colors and I just don't know. And so to me, like, you're an expert at what you're doing because I'm like, this person knows how to make soap. Mm. Like, that's just great. Plus, they smell nice and they look great too. So that's, to me, that's incredible. Whereas on your side, you're like, but this other maker makes them so much better. And she, you know, like, she's got more advanced things and tools and gear that I don't have. Like, who am I in my kitchen making soap? Like, you know, it's all in your head. It's all a matter of like perspective and having knowing how to make something that other people don't know how to make. Like I could keep going on that list, like, you know, of sewing and all that stuff. I don't know how to do all that. Like I actually kind of do, but like you don't want to see the results, like the stitches. Not one straight stitches.
I think, oh my gosh, I said I think because that was my little segue to Michaela talking, and now what was I going to say?
Now you're not thinking anymore.
I hate those moments. But, yeah, stop following people. Stop. There's a quote, stop comparing other people's outsides to your insides. I don't know who said it, but it's really important. Don't compare all the shiny Instagram outsides of everybody else to your messy insides.
Yeah, totally, because it's all curated anyway. Mm. I think we're getting quite a lot into competition in general at the moment, which is totally related, obviously. But I was just thinking that another area where people might start feeling the imposter syndrome is when they're starting to scale. So if we're – because this is sort of part of the research that I'm just about to look into too, is the fact that a lot of women are wanting to keep their business small, just keep it small and manageable. And like the reasons behind that. And then when it's time to scale, that's when people think, oh no, that's not my place to be able to scale this into something much bigger. So yeah, I think that would be really interesting to look into like the reasons behind that and like why people are having these feelings.
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, that's a good point. I don't know. But it's still, to me, it's still the same thing. It's just fear, pretty much. And like that self-critique and that self-judgment of,
well, I don't know if it is just fear though. Because I think it's, again, getting into the broader area of women's work and women's crafts, and does that a legitimate, like, money-making business, you know? Are you allowed to make your candle business a global empire? Like, are you allowed to do that? You know, of course, the answer is yes, like 100% yes, but... like that, those external factors of, you know, how society values craft in general, arts, craft, design, all that kind of stuff, and women's work. I'm putting little air quotes around that, women's work. Yeah, so I'm not sure. I mean, I think fear is definitely a part of it, but I don't think that's the only factor for that specific example of scaling up.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure we've touched on this in another episode as well, but it's a really important point.
So I think that probably covers everything that we wanted to go through for now. If you guys don't have anything else to add that you want to pop in at the end there. Yeah, so thank you guys so much, all of you, for listening to us again this week. Michaela rambled on a little bit. I'm talking in the third person here. That's me. I rambled on a little bit. That's
okay. I do that as well.
We just get going, don't we? And we're like, yeah, so we just wanted to say thank you so much. If you are able to rate and review us on whichever podcast platform you are listening through, especially on Apple Podcasts / iTunes, whatever it's called for you at the moment. Mine's still iTunes. I don't know why. That would be really fantastic. But also if you could share us with people, that'd be awesome. Yes, I think we want to obviously reach as many people as possible to get the conversation going with more people in business, specifically women in business, makers, and we want to have more of a broader conversation around all these topics as well and build the community. So definitely share us with people, and if you can jump onto our Facebook group and join there, then we'd love to continue the conversation there as well, which is, if you just want to go to thebusinessofmaking.com/Facebook, that would be great. So thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Have an awesome week.
See you again next week.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.
So I just want to share this quote from Ira Glass, because I've heard it numerous times and I think it really speaks to what we're talking about in this episode. It's a bit long, so bear with me, but he's a writer, so he's talking about stories, but it goes for anything that people make. And he says this: "Nobody tells this to people who are beginners. I wish someone had told me. All of us who do creative work, we get into it because we have good taste. But there is this gap. For the first couple of years, you make stuff and it's just not that good. It's trying to be good. It has potential, but it's not. But your taste, the thing that got you into the game, is still killer. And your taste is why your work disappoints you. A lot of people never get past this phase. They just quit. Most people I know who are doing interesting creative work went through years of this. We know our work doesn't have this special thing that we want it to have. We all go through this. And if you are just starting out or you're still in this phase, you've got to know it's normal. And the most important thing you can do is a lot of work. Put yourself on a deadline so that every week you will finish one story or make one thing. It's only by going through a volume of work that you will close that gap, and your work will be as good as your ambitions. And I took longer to figure out how to do this than anyone I've ever met. It's going to take a while. It's normal to take a while. You've just got to fight your way through. So I think that's an incredibly important thing to remember, is that you have that taste, but you might just not be there yet, but you will get there.